Good evening. Thank you for joining us for KGNU's Boulder City Council Candidate Forum, as KGNU continues its commitment to covering local city issues. This year, there are 14 candidates vying for 5 seats, and we are featuring a series of forums so listeners can hear from all of the candidates. Tonight, we have Sam Weaver, Jill Grano, and Mark McIntyre with us. This is a 30-minute program, and the candidates will have an opening statement, a longer time period to share their priorities for the city should they be elected, and then we'll move into a few questions followed by a closing statement from each of the three. We'll start with an opening statement from Mark McIntyre. Mark?
Hi, I'm Mark McIntyre. I've been a Boulder resident for over 40 years now. I'm a CU grad. I married my wife here. I have 2 children that went to Boulder schools, and now I have 2 grandchildren who live here as well. And I have parents and in-laws that live in Boulder County. So I have 4 generations of people that live here in Boulder County. So when I think about, as a brief introduction, rather than focus on issues, I want people to understand who I am, and that is I'm a combination of a successful business person that has run and operated a successful business here in Boulder County based on U.S. manufacturing for 30 years, but I'm also a deep environmentalist and supporter of progressive social causes, and I don't see any dichotomy between that business experience and my views on social issues and social progress. So when I think about how I will make decisions on council, I want to be compassionate, make decisions based on data, and make decisions that yield the greatest good for the community.
Jill, your opening statement.
Hi, my name is Jill Adler Grano, and I'm a community activist and a businesswoman here in Boulder. I'm also the mother of 2 incredible young boys, Ryder and Trekker, both of whom are in school here in Boulder. I'm running for city council after more than a decade of leadership and volunteerism in Boulder, and I would be honored to earn your vote this November. During my 11 years in Boulder, I've worked to save mobile homeowners from tax lien investors, taught civics at the Watershed School, served at the homeless shelter and Meals on Wheels, and I was a board member for New Era Colorado for 5 years, through which I launched the campaign to reduce disposable bags. I'm currently the vice chair of the Board of Zoning Adjustments and a board member of Thistle Communities, where we work to provide affordable housing in town. I'd love to bring my leadership and experience to work for you.
Thank you. And Sam Weaver, your opening statement. Sam.
Hi, my name is Sam Weaver, and I'm running for re-election to the Boulder City Council. I've lived in Boulder County for 28 years and in the city itself for 9 years. When I was a county resident, I was a volunteer firefighter for 15 years and chief of the Sugarloaf Fire Department for 2 of those years. I care very much about the environment. I'm the CEO of a clean tech company here in Boulder. I've run that for 11 years, and I've also sat on the board of several environmental organizations such as the Colorado Solar Energy Industries Association and Clean Energy Action. I'm very committed to a healthy business climate in Boulder, but balanced with quality of life for the residents. I care deeply about development issues and land use issues, as well as our climate commitment in Boulder.
Thank you. Now we'll move on to some of your positions. Let's start with Jill. Jill, would you like to articulate your positions, your top 3 priorities, or why you want to be on city council? Tell us about that.
Well, if elected to council, my top 3 priorities would be tackling affordable housing and creating more housing that's truly affordable and accessible. It would be continuing on with our Boulder's energy future in the pursuit of being powered by 100% renewable energy, and recognizing and supporting small businesses in town. So I'll go into a little bit about each of those. On housing, right now, the average single-family home exceeds $1 million, and even those making 150% of area median income find it challenging to live in our community. This means it's nearly impossible for our teachers, nurses, law enforcement, artists, service workers, and many more to live in the town in which they work. I have extensive experience working in our affordable program, in our mobile home communities, on housing working groups, as the vice chair of the Board of Zoning Adjustments, and in working with Thistle Communities. I'm excited to bring that experience to honestly tackle our affordable housing problems.
I'm also passionate about small business support. You know, as Boulder grows and welcomes new enterprises, I think it's more important than ever that we support the small businesses that we have. I've talked with a number of mom and pop shops who are struggling to make it in the face of rising rents and triple net leases. If elected to council, this is going to be one of my top priorities. Right now, the city of Boulder focuses most of its economic vitality energy on primary employers. And I think that we need to extend some of those tax rebates and incentives to small businesses as well. I'd also love to look at creating an affordable commercial space program, especially in the downtown area, to help support small businesses and keep them alive. I'm also passionate about many social justice issues. You know, supporting our most vulnerable populations is not only the right thing to do, but it provides incredible social and economic benefit to our community. Just for example, a recent study shows that for every homeless youth that we have, that we are able to provide stable housing for, taxpayers save $250,000 in avoided social service costs. Right now, food insecurity, lack of access to physical and mental health care, and inadequate access to elderly care is on the rise in Boulder. I also think that we need to more seriously address our homeless, the issue of homelessness in our community. If elected, I will make our citizens who are struggling a priority and strive to provide support through enhanced public-private partnerships, efforts to eradicate poverty, and through housing initiatives.
Thank you, Jill. Sam, it sounds like you've been enjoying being on City Council. You are running again, so tell us what you'd like to continue as a council member, or what you'd like to get done in the next term.
Great, I appreciate that. So one of the key things for me is climate and energy, and I'm pretty proud of some of the things that we've accomplished during my time on council. One of the things that we did during my council term was adopt commercial energy codes, and these commercial energy codes apply to all commercial buildings across the city, and they're a combination of rating and reporting, so measuring the energy consumption and carbon emissions of the various buildings in town, and then helping the owners of those buildings get on a pathway to reducing the energy consumption and carbon emissions using subsidized programs through the county. So that was one thing that was very good. Another thing that we did was we updated the new building energy efficiency requirements, and so we have some of the most strict energy use requirements for new buildings of any city in the country, and that will put us on a path by 2035 to have all new buildings in Boulder be net zero. Boulder has managed through a combination of steps to reduce our carbon emissions by 8% over the past decade or so, while at the same time growing in population. So some of our programs, efficiency programs, are having an effect. Then outside of that, we'll talk more about the Muni later, but I'm a big supporter of that, and there have been a lot of developments during this council term along the way of finally getting a pathway to being able to move forward with that. The city organization itself has reduced its carbon emissions by about 35% in the last 7 years due to initiatives like energy service contracting on the buildings themselves, solar panels that are being put up on many of our buildings, and fleet transformation. We now have electric bicycles available for employees to drive around on when they need to go from location to location, and we've moved towards electrification of our autos as well. So there's the climate and energy piece. Another piece is affordable housing. Everyone acknowledges that this is a big problem in Boulder, and there's a few things that we need to do. We have just rewritten the inclusionary zoning laws in Boulder, and what that means is that when people build new housing, 20% of the new housing has to be affordable to lower-income people, and 5% needs to be affordable to middle-income people, and that will go into effect in summer of 2015. But just taxing people who build housing for affordable housing will never work. It's not a complete solution. And so we need to look more at commercial builders, because as we create more demand in Boulder by being a workforce job center and by having open space, so we're limited and constrained in how we grow, we need to have new commercial development pay its way as well. And so when I first got on council, there was not a citywide commercial linkage fee. And what a commercial linkage fee is when you build a commercial building, you pay money into affordable housing because studies show that new job sites create more housing demand. So we had a study done, and that study said it's about $120 a square foot is what it would take to mitigate the impact on affordable housing when you build. But since half of people are in commuters, maybe it could be $60 a square foot. Our staff came forward with a recommendation of $15 a square foot, and the chamber and some other organizations convinced five council members to support $12 a square foot. So that is wholly inadequate, and if elected, I would address that issue again and attempt to bring it up to somewhere in the neighborhood of $25 to $35 a square foot, all to go towards providing more affordable housing in town. And the last issue is social justice issues. I've been very proud of Boulder for our Sanctuary City stand and our DACA resolution, and I think on the issue of homelessness, we've both taken some positive steps and need to take more positive steps.
All right. Thank you, Sam. And finally, Mark, we'll hear from you. What are your priorities should you be elected to City Council?
I begin with kind of one overarching priority, and that is to continue to make Boulder be a more livable city. When I say livable city, I talk about housing, transportation, human services, and our open space. So let's begin with housing. It's one thing to hang out a welcome sign, a multilingual welcome sign, but I think we have to really walk our talk on this and create more flexibility. So I'm a big supporter of Boulder Housing Partners, our city's housing authority. They've done a great job increasing the number of permanently affordable units within the city, but we also have to foster private developers doing affordable housing and individual homeowners having greater flexibility for granny flats, accessory dwelling units, and make those units legal, because we actually have a lot of illegal units that might be unsafe. And we need to both bring those into the system and make them legal and part of our rental property system. And we need to offer homeowners greater flexibility. So say an elderly single woman who is confronted with higher taxes due to the value of her home may or may not be able to stay in her home, but if she actually was able to put a legal accessory dwelling unit on her property in her basement, the city makes that very hard right now. We would probably increase both our housing affordability, provide greater student housing, grad student housing, etc., while offering our current citizens more options. On the transportation side, flexibility is another key word here. Boulder is known as a cycling community, but if you look at as someone who is a dedicated cyclist all my life, and someone who is riding to every campaign event and every meeting to do with this campaign, the inadequacies of our current cycling infrastructure are striking. You ride along, and paths end, streets, on-street bike paths jump to sidewalks. It's a kind of convoluted mess. And so I think we need to step up, and not rest on our laurels, step up and make cycling safer and better alternative. I don't want to make driving painful. I want to make cycling, walking, taking the bus fast, safe, convenient, and most of all for cyclists, safe. And so we can make Boulder more livable by giving people more flexible transportation options, more flexible housing options. An issue that also doesn't seem to be being addressed as we make these rounds in the campaign is open space. So I originally came to Boulder here partly due to the outdoors, the outdoor environment. It's a huge draw. Maybe to our detriment sometimes, but it is iconic. It's an iconic part of every Boulderite's view of the city, right? And not the literal view, but how we relate to our city. And I believe that our open space system is not overused. I believe it's under-maintained. And I want the department to move away from an acquisition strategy and have and adjust their staffing so that we have more people present on open space doing maintenance, trail maintenance, creating better visitor infrastructure, making for a better visitor experience. And I think by having better trails, better infrastructure, we will also increase our wildlife and habitat values on open space. Finally, I think the arts are a key portion of any community's identity of itself and part of its vitality. People come to Boulder not just because we have good jobs, not just because of the mountains, but because of the kind of creative artistic community we have here. And so that's what brought me here. And I graduated from CU with a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree. And I'm a big supporter of the arts here. And I want the city to continue to make, and this is the intersection with housing, housing for artists who are usually not the richest people around. We want to have live workspaces, studio spaces. And again, the city needs to walk its talk on that. So the intersection of all of those items is livability for me.
Thank you. You are listening to a City Council Candidate Forum on KGNU. Our guests today are Mark McIntyre, who was just speaking, Sam Weaver, and Jill Grano. Jill, I want to go to our questions now, and I want to start with you. We have a very thorny issue before us, which is municipalization, and people have very polarized ideas on how that should be done or if it should be done. Can you tell us in 2 minutes what your position is, Jill?
Yes, thank you. I think that the opportunity to control our energy future is a once-in-a-generation opportunity. I think that the future of energy is going to require more nimbleness and flexibility than we currently have with our provider. That said, I recognize it may not be feasible in the future. However, I would encourage voters to support the occupation tax. I certainly will be, to move forward to find out if it is feasible or not. There's conflicting studies both ways, and I want to get through the process. You know, some see it as lost opportunity costs, but the truth is we really have helped change the tone of our energy provider over the last 7 years in this effort, and we will be pursuing this effort in concurrently with them continuing to become greener and shut down coal plants. These are not mutually exclusive. We also need to make sure that as we pursue a municipalization, we are also looking at city programs that continue to encourage residents to electrify their homes and their cars.
Thank you, Jill. Sam, what is your position on municipalization?
I'm a very strong supporter of continuing to learn about how much it would cost and what the benefits would be. So we on council just referred three measures to the voters that they'll see and be able to vote on this year. Those measures are 2L, 2O, and 2P. 2L continues the occupation tax at roughly the same level it's at now, a teensy bump, but not much, to allow the engineering studies to go forward. The Public Utilities Commission and its recent rulings about the municipalization effort have given a clear pathway forward. It involves a little bit of duplicative work, but at the same time, it means that we can now estimate what those costs are, and staff is already in the process of doing that. They've given us a pathway to connect to the Xcel transmission grid, and they've told us what we need to do that, and from that, we'll be able to estimate costs. It is crazy to think that we would stop now. We finally, for the first time, know how to go forward with this process, know how to estimate what it would cost, know how much carbon emissions reduction that would bring us, and know basically how we would set up the ability for us to control the source of our energy. And I think that it's imperative in the face of the hurricanes that we've seen and the fires and the floods that are coming that we give future generations of Boulderites the ability to both make their energy system more resilient and carbon free.
Thank you, Sam. Mark, what is your position on municipalization should you be elected?
Well, I want to say first, I have always been a supporter of alternative energy sources, both personally and in my business career, and have acted on those by owning solar systems in every house I've owned and in commercial property that I own. I am a strong supporter of the city's carbon goals, but I have become a reluctant, I've come reluctantly to the table to feel that our municipalization efforts are not helping us achieve our carbon goals. We're 6 years into this effort. We've spent an incredible amount of money to reach a point where, as Sam says, the path seems to be clear, but that clarity involves, as he said, duplicating substations, duplicating transmission lines, 30 miles of poles, etc. I want us to move forward to achieve our carbon goals. And I think that I wish we had worded the occupation tax so that that money was available for us to achieve our carbon goals, whether it was the Muni or not. As it's worded now, the voters have a choice of continuing with the Muni as it's on its current path or not. It puts us at a disadvantage because if we vote down the occupation tax, then we have another year or two before we are able to actually reinstitute an occupation tax that would help us achieve our carbon goals. But right now, the Muni and the path forward is unclear to me. And Xcel's recent announcements of shutting down two coal plants early, 55% renewables by 2026, actually helps us achieve our carbon goals quickly.
Thank you. All right, we're going to move on to another question. And some of you have addressed this, but for those of you who haven't been on council, I'm going to start with you, Jill. The Trump administration has made it very clear that they are not going to help cities who support the sanctuary policy, that they will attempt to take away funds from cities who support a sanctuary policy. How do you feel about that? What should Boulder do on that?
The federal government is taking steps backward on so many important issues, and it is up to cities and states to resist. I absolutely support the city protecting its immigrants and anyone in the DACA program. I absolutely support our sanctuary city status, and I hope that the city will continue to pass resolutions to support our most vulnerable populations. I think it's also really necessary that we take the state in 2018. We need to take back our attorney general seat for Democrats, the Secretary of State, keep the governorship, and turn the Senate. Obviously, keep the House as well. I would encourage anyone out there who wants to see that happen to join the Colorado Resistance. You can find it online or on Facebook. And this is a key organization that I think is going to help do that.
All right. Thank you. That's Jill Grano. Sam Weaver, already on council, you're feeling specifically on the sanctuary issue?
Well, there was no question in my mind that we had to take the step to become a sanctuary city and to formalize that. It, in the face of the federal government attacking our people in Boulder, we had to tell them that we have their back. And so that and the DACA resolution asking our delegation, our federal delegation, to support reinstating DACA were two things that I was very proud to be involved with. I actually worked with Mary Young on the DACA resolution. So from the bottom of my heart, I feel for the people who are threatened by the Trump administration. I cannot imagine what that's like. And those of us that are documented and citizens need to protect those among us who may not be. And so going forward, I don't think we should let threats from the federal government about funding slow us down. At the end of the day, I think what we might have at risk is something like $5 million, and we have a $140 million general fund budget and a $400 million overall budget. So threats on funding are meaningless to me around this issue. So we have to be working kind of at all levels to protect our fellow citizens whose immigration status might be in question.
Thank you. And finally, Mark, if you would like to tell us your position on the sanctuary city issue.
Well, I agree with Jill and Sam, and I think it's I think the city is correct to take a moral stand on these sorts of issues. And federal funding or whatever be damned, when you're talking about these sorts of moral issues, this is one where we need to be on the right side of this moral issue. But I also just want to address it from a public safety and public health and policing standpoint. So I talked to Sheriff Pella yesterday briefly. I talked to Chief Testa's office today. And for them to do their job effectively, which is protect the citizens the residents of Boulder County and the city of Boulder, they have to have the trust of community members. And I think our community police should be left out of it, and we'll all have a safer, better, healthier community if our both sheriff and police force can enforce our existing regulations without regard to immigration status.
Okay. Mark, do you want to continue with your closing statement?
Sure. So in closing, I think about, my campaign has been about change, and I just want to tell the citizens of Boulder that when we need not be fearful of change, but we also can't attempt to turn back the clock. A lot of us I came here in 77, and we tend to view Boulder as whatever it was at its peak the day I arrived, right? And I've seen a lot of changes in Boulder since 77. I've been an active part of the community, but I also believe that change is coming, whether it's Google, whether it's self-driving vehicles, whether it's completely different transportation systems than what we have now, completely different family structures, completely different housing options. And we can either fight and fail at trying to turn back the clock, or we can embrace the change and lead. And that's what I want to do, is provide leadership in the face of significant changes, that some that we can't even anticipate right now.
All right. Thank you, Mark. We will move to Sam Weaver. Your closing statement, Sam.
Great. So one of the most important things to me is to think about how governance works, and particularly at the local level, with the federal government being entirely dysfunctional and with our state system being split between a Republican Senate and a Democratic House. It really leaves only the cities and the counties to do the heavy lifting. And part of that heavy lifting is being able to talk with each other, even when we disagree. It is extremely important to me as a value to be able to disagree without being disagreeable, to be able to work with people on the issues where we can find common ground, and even where we have a policy fight with each other, we remain collegial and we remain cordial. And that hasn't always happened in politics, and we see at the federal level where people really just don't talk across the aisle very much. And so one thing that I promise to bring if I'm reelected is that I will try and work with every other member of council on issues where we can find agreement. An example of that was the CU South issue recently. There was a lot of concern about how we were going to change the land use there as part of the Boulder Valley Comprehensive Plan. Well, part of that was in the 500-year floodplain. So I worked with council members who I do not always agree with, and that was done because of the way that I was willing to work with anyone who would talk to me.
Thank you, Sam. And finally, Jill Grano, your closing statement here on KGNU's Candidate Forum.
Well, thanks for the opportunity to be here today, Roz. And to the listeners out there, you know, I have talked with more than 100 community members preparing for this campaign, and I would love to hear from you. Feel free to email me anytime if you have ideas or want to meet. And, you know, I hope that I will be able to earn your vote through my proven leadership and commitment to our community, as well as my take on the issues that affect all of us. But if I could leave you with one thing today, it's just to know that I am a woman of action. You know, when that struggling mother who was beaten and had been evicted from her home called me, I didn't just refer her to social services. I got our community together and we raised $40,000 and bought her a mobile home and totally changed her life. You know, when I saw that mobile homeowners were being taken advantage of from tax lien investors, I stepped in and bought liens myself to save all the women's homes and knocked on doors and warned people and got a state bill passed actually to protect others. I'm a doer, and I want to bring my commitment to our community and my action-based experience to you.
Jill, can you give us your website information? How can people reach you?
You can reach me at jillforcitycouncil.com.
And Sam, can you do the same?
Sure. Samforcouncil.org, and the four is the numeral four.
All right. Mark?
Mark4, F-O-R, council.com.
Thank you for joining us for a City Council Candidate Forum. I've been your host, Roz Brown, encouraging you to vote on November 7th.